Now Hurricane Matthew is moving up the coast from Florida and is expected to hit states like Georgia and the Carolinas as it continues traveling north. Currently, there are more than 800,000 people without power in Florida, and Governor Rick Scott has ordered mandatory evacuations in many parts of the state.
The storm has already left devastation in its wake in the Bahamas and in Haiti, where the death toll has been climbing over recent days, along with extensive property damage.
Joining us now to give us the latest on Hurricane Matthew is Jonathan Erdman. He is a senior meteorologist with weather.com, and he's been following hurricanes since 1998. Jonathan, welcome to Central Time.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
Jonathan, what is the latest as of right now with Hurricane Matthew?
Well, Veronica, the latest is Hurricane Matthew is only a Cat 2 right now, but it's still powerful. It's only about 40 miles to the east of Jacksonville Beach, Florida. It's moving toward the north. And it's just been raking the northeast Florida coast pretty much all day today with destructive winds, storm surge flooding, and also heavy rain. And all those impacts are now headed toward the Georgia coast and the Carolinas tonight and Saturday.
Did the eye of the hurricane ever make it over land? Did it make landfall, or is it just sort of grazing the coast there?
Well, that's been the fascinating thing about this, is because it hasn't made landfall, but it's been close enough where the western eyewall has just been scraping the coast. It started this morning when the eyewall started scraping the coast right at Cape Canaveral, and they actually had instruments that measured 100 to 105 mile per hour winds on U.S. Air Force towers at Cape Canaveral. Now, we haven't heard any reports of damage from that, but it's just been a fascinating case because it's just tracked just offshore. And it's just close enough, though, to produce the kind of impacts that we've seen in northeast Florida today.
What kind of factors determine what sort of path a hurricane will take? It is, at a certain point, it looked like it was going to hit Florida dead on, and then it kind of glanced off to the right a little bit. Do we have any way of predicting what the path will be?
Well, I'll be honest with you. This has been a vexing forecast for meteorologists from the start, you know, 9 days ago when it formed. Basically, the steering factors, if you can picture, there's usually a bubble of high pressure in the summertime called Bermuda Azores High. And it's called that because it generally spans from near Bermuda in the Atlantic Ocean out toward the Azores, a group of islands in the eastern Atlantic Ocean. And that's kind of usually the steering wheel for tropical cyclones. It generally steers them on the south side of it from east to west. And then it rounds the western side of that Bermuda High. And oftentimes, hurricanes will curl out to sea safely off the East Coast and not be a factor. But what's happened this time is that there's been high pressure in the upper atmosphere well west of Bermuda that has trapped this storm and pushed it much closer to the U.S. coast, unfortunately. And that means we've had this track right near Florida, Georgia, and the Carolinas. So a lot of it depends on just what the steering wheel is in the atmosphere. And this time, the steering wheel has basically steered Matthew right toward the coast.
Now, as you said, Matthew's a Category 2 now. It was a Category 4 not too long ago. Does this mean that the worst is over, or are we still looking for more devastation in the form of maybe that storm surge we keep hearing about?
Well, that's a good question, Veronica. You know, there's a misperception out there that it's all about the winds of a tropical storm or hurricane. And obviously there can be a lot of wind damage produced. If it's a Category 4, you could have major structural damage of homes. But what happens is the storm surge, which is typically the deadliest part of a hurricane, is generally a function of the size of the hurricane's wind field. So one example I like to use is Hurricane Ike hit the Texas coast in 2008. Well, Hurricane Ike was only a Category 2 when it made landfall, but it had a gigantic wind field. And what you need to generate waves and generate storm surge is a large wind field, you know, winds blowing over a large area of the ocean over a long distance and over a long period of time. And it just pushes that water up toward the coast in what's called the storm surge. So in Matthew's case, yes, it is only a Category 2 right now, but it's already generated this push of water, what we call the storm surge, and that's getting pushed now up toward the Georgia coast and the Carolinas this weekend. So it's really not a function as much of the intensity of the storm as it is the size of the storm.
And you mentioned Hurricane Ike from, you know, several years back, and I understand that it's been a while since the East Coast has taken a hit from a hurricane like this. Why has it been so long? Do we have any theories on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, the biggest one, obviously, in recent times has been Sandy, which we talk about, you know, nomenclature and meteorology a lot. Officially, Sandy was not a hurricane when it made landfall. It was something called a post-tropical cyclone. But at any rate, it was a big storm with a lot of wind that devastated New Jersey. What's happened in recent years in the Atlantic Ocean is that we've had, a couple of negative factors on hurricanes and tropical storms when they form down in the Caribbean Sea or when they form between the Lesser Antilles and Africa. There have been two factors that have kind of beaten down those storms before they've had a chance to really get going. And one is dry air in the atmosphere. Generally, if you have air that's really dry, it tends to produce downdrafts or downward currents of air that disperse thunderstorms away from an area of low pressure. So it just doesn't allow a tropical storm to form and maintain itself. And then we've had a factor that's called wind shear. It's just a change in wind speed and or direction with height. And what wind shear does is it'll either rip apart hurricanes or tropical storms. It'll push all the thunderstorms away from the area of low pressure. So that is something that, beats down hurricanes and tropical storms too. So over the last 3 or 4 years, those two factors, either one or the other or both, have really worked to keep the hurricane threat away from the U.S. for the most part. So we've been lucky, but as usual, the luck eventually runs out.
We're speaking right now with Jonathan Erdman about Hurricane Matthew. He's a senior meteorologist for weather.com and has been covering hurricanes for nearly two decades.
Coming up in a few minutes, we'll hear more about the progress of Hurricane Matthew and the science of hurricanes. And we'd like to hear from you. Do you have questions for our guest about hurricanes? Have you ever experienced one yourself? Share your stories and your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about Hurricane Matthew and its progress along the eastern seaboard. We're taking your questions about hurricanes or your experiences if you've seen them firsthand. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking to senior meteorologist Jonathan Erdman. He works for weather.com and has been following hurricanes throughout his career. And Jonathan, President Obama declared a federal state of emergency ahead of the storm and spoke to reporters today. Here's what he had to say.
The potential for storm surge, flooding, loss of life, and severe property damage continues to exist. And people continue to need to follow the instructions of their local officials over the course of the next 24, 48, 72 hours.
And Jonathan, what do you make of the emergency alerts, the awareness for the public that came before the storm? Did it get the job done?
Well, that's a point of debate. We saw some cases where people were moving out. Obviously, we had, a lot of evacuations going on from Northeast Florida through the Carolinas. And that was good, but we also heard some cases of people that just refused to leave. And then today we saw other cases where people that refused to leave suddenly were requesting assistance because all of a sudden there was 2, 3, or 4 feet of storm surge right outside their front door. It is a problem. I think it's human nature. We don't respect the power of water as much as we respect the power of wind. We see a lot of specials on, say, National Geographic or Discovery Channel about tornadoes and all about wind, but it's the water that kills people when it comes to hurricanes and tropical storms. In fact, 88% of U.S. deaths over about a 30-year period were due to water, not wind, and the storm surge is the big problem. So that's what we're still struggling with, is how to get the message out to tell people, hey, there's going to be 6 feet of water outside your front door as from storm surge. And not only that, there's going to be battering waves atop that storm surge that not only could flood your house, but could smash it up. And honestly, we're getting the word out. Some people are leaving, but we're still, I think there's just still too many that just don't respect the power of the storm surge.
And there's still time for people to evacuate who are still in the path, right?
I would say there's still time in parts of the Carolinas. The time is really running out in the Georgia coast because, again, the center is right near the Florida-Georgia border, just off the coast there. So, I mean, we're already starting to see storm surge flooding in places like Charleston, South Carolina. We already had some homes that were undermined at the high tide midday today in Edisto Beach, South Carolina. So the time is really running out. So it's so important when people get evacuation orders that they do so quickly because waiting for the last minute, waiting until the water's already coming up could be too late. Your evacuation route could actually be flooded.
Let's take a caller, and we've got Fred joining us in Michigan. Fred, hello.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I survived Hurricane Camille down in Gulfport, Mississippi in 1969. That was a Cat 5 storm, I believe, if I have the categories right. We were experiencing winds of upwards of 200 miles an hour.
Wow.
And that came in, I think it was around midnight, something like that, when it came in. But in the afternoon, I was on the four-lane highway, and we had water a foot deep already. I was stationed in Gulfport, Mississippi. I was attached to a naval construction battalion. And we spent several weeks after the hurricane cleaning up the city and the streets, trying to get everything passable again. And we shipped Agent Orange to Vietnam from that base, and so we had broken barrels of Agent Orange all over the place.
Wow, Fred, that's quite a story. Obviously still stayed with you these many years later. Do you remember anything about Camille, Jonathan?
Well, that's one of the ones that is forever burned in people's memory that either forecasted for it or lived through it. That was one of the only three Category 5 landfalls in U.S. history. And before Katrina, obviously Katrina, a lot of the attention went to New Orleans, but, you know, the biggest storm surge from Katrina was not in Louisiana. It was actually right along that same section of coast that Fred was talking about. So, I wasn't alive with Camille, but certainly any meteorologist that is into hurricanes puts Camille right on the Mount Rushmore of hurricanes that's hit the U.S. Fred, if I can ask, where were you? Were you right on the coast? Did you see a lot of storm surge?
We had a lot of surge. Our base, we were a little off the coast. We had a port on the ocean. Our base sustained extensive damage. We lost 85% of our barracks.
Wow. Yeah, again, quite a story there, Fred. I'm glad you called and shared it with us. And Matthew, just a couple seconds left, but how do you think Matthew is going to rate in that pantheon of East Coast hurricanes?
Well, I think it has a good chance. So hurricanes can get retired. Their names become notorious enough where they're just not used anymore. This has a chance more because of what it's done in Haiti and the devastation there. But we literally were miles away from having one of the costliest hurricanes in U.S. history because the center just stayed just far enough offshore. Now, the flooding could still be an issue, but we're going to have to see how that turns out in the Carolinas. Hopefully not too bad.
Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us today.
You bet.
That was Jonathan Erdman, senior meteorologist for weather.com, talking about Hurricane Matthew.